We're going to have lots of fun today. I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys in advance, like I'm ADD, so I don't know what I'm going to say, but at the end of it, I promise you it will all point towards Jesus. And so before we dive into God's word, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. God, speak to our hearts. Amen. Oh, y'all thought it was going to be some long-winded prayer? Now, for the record, God listens to short prayers as well. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. I mean, like, and we all, like, have that friend or family member likes to pray really long prayers. Like, during the holiday season, like, you're just trying to eat. Like, matter of fact, by a show of hands, if you're online or in this room, wherever you're at, one of the other churches, just go ahead and raise your hand if you have a friend or family member likes to pray really long prayers. By a show of hands, keep them up, keep them up. All right, now for those of you guys that are not raising your hand, you are that friend or family member. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, a brother just trying to cut the bird and you're trying to pray for world peace, Haiti. You know what I'm saying? If you have your Bibles with you today, you can go ahead and open them up to Mark 10. Even if you don't have your Bibles, you can open them up to Mark 10. It'll also be in your program there, as well as you can go online. There's a YouVersion Bible app that you can use. And matter of fact, unless you have a Samsung Note, we don't want you to open that up, because I know they say the word is fire, but we don't want that type of fire in the church today. So don't open that up, but you can open your Bibles up to Mark 10, verse 46 through 52. We're just going to preach the Bible today, if that's okay. And so I'm going to go ahead and set the stage for the time that we're going to look at in Scripture. Yeah, imagine Jericho. It's a city. It's on the edge of the wilderness. And Jericho was actually about a day's journey to Jerusalem, because what Galilean Jews during this time would do is they would take this pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the holy city. They would find themselves in Jericho on the way. And then instead of going through Samaria, they would go around the Jordan's east side. Then they would go the Jordan River's east side. And they'd go back through and come across through Perea. And next thing you know, they'd find themselves on their way to Jerusalem, to the holy city. But the very, very last part of their journey, they would go up a very, very steep hill. And there was this blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus. And what Bartimaeus would do is he would sit there on that last part of the journey, and he would sit there and beg, because what he wanted to do is he wanted to try to tap into the generosity of these Galilean Jews as they're on this journey. So you guys track with me. So they're on their journey. The very, very last part was a very, very steep hill. And that's a whole nother sermon. You know, sometimes in life, what happens is you got to go through something in order to get to something, right? And so that's what they're doing. So they're on this journey. Bartimaeus is out there. He's begging. And we're going to pick up in the scripture. I'm going to go ahead and read the text in its entirety. Then we'll come back and unpack it verse by verse. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with the large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You see, we could close our Bibles, we could all get up and leave, and that's really all that we need to hear. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he was healed. But I really feel like that God has something that he wants to speak to the hearts of every single person that will open their hearts and open their ears to what God would speak to you today. And it's interesting that we're going to look through the eyes of a blind man to be able to see all that God has for us. And that's what we're going to do today. But I'm here also to tell you that if you want to see all that God has for, if you want to experience breakthrough blessing that we're seeing in Bartimaeus' life, there's some things that you're going to need to drop. As a matter of fact, that's the title of today's sermon, is drop it. As a matter of fact, I want you to turn around to your neighbor right now and say, "You need to drop it." All right, I want you to turn around to your other neighbor, the one that wasn't your first choice. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, turn around to your second choice, say, "You need to drop it." Now, I want everybody to look up here and say, "You need to drop it." Can you do better than that? I can't even hear you. Is this a library? You know what I'm saying? Say, you need to drop it. Say, you better drop it. Say, drop it. Say, drop it like it's hot. No, no. I'm going to hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, can't say that in church. And so, but that's what we're going to look at. And here's the thing. It's like, you know, one of the things about like looking through the eyes of a blind man, it reminds me, how many of you guys have ever been to the eye doctor and had an eye exam? By a show of hands, raise your hand. And when you go to the eye doctor and get an eye exam, like the doctor says, okay, do you like A better or B? Okay, do you like C or D? I'm always like, go back. Okay, like 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. Or if I'm like, how many are there? What are you doing? Like, it was good. Like, go back. And why is the eye doctor making clicks and turns? Because they want you to be able to do what? See 20/20. And so I'm here to tell you today that if you want to be able to see all that God has for in your life, if you want to experience breakthrough, blessing, and be able to see the beauty of everything that could be in front of you, you're going to have to make some clicks. You're going to have to make some turns. You're going to have to make some adjustments in your life. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the clicks and turns and the adjustments. And what I'm saying is there are some things that you're going to need to drop. And so the first thing, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. First thing you need to drop is you need to drop your care. Everybody say, drop your care. You can do better than that. Everybody say, drop your care. Drop your care. Okay, here's what the Bible says. Let's look at verse 46 through 48 again. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with the what? With a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. In the large crowd, hey, blind man, will you quit yelling Jesus' name? Jesus, son of David. Hey, blind man, you tripping, dog. Quit yelling Jesus' name. Jesus. Hey, man, will somebody tell this blind man to quit yelling Jesus' name? Jesus, son of David. Hey, blind man, you tripping. No hablo ingles. Will you quit yelling his name? You tripping, dog. You better stop. That's the new NIV version. You know what I'm saying? That's the Negro International version. You know? Lord, forgive me. Yeah. The real NIV, very similar. Verse 48. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So when we're talking about dropping your care, we're talking about dropping caring about what people think. If Bartimaeus cared about what people think, I probably wouldn't be preaching this sermon today about the life of blind Bartimaeus. But he didn't care what the large crowd thinks. And that's what you have to do. You have to drop your care. That's what Bartimaeus did. I don't care what y'all think. Because here's what happens. A large crowd, the haters are going to start to come out. I like to say, as you're on the precipice of a breakthrough, better believe that the haters are going to come out. I like to say it this way. As you begin to reach new levels, you're going to get new devils. And that's what Bartimaeus understood. But Bartimaeus also understood this, that if he wanted to be able to see, and if you want to be able to see all that God has, you need to do what a good orchestra conductor does. And what a good orchestra conductor does is they know that they have to turn their back to the large crowd because they have to be able to lead and be able to look towards the sweet music that's front of them. And so what you need to do is you need to turn your back to the crowd, the haters, the naysayers, many of them family members, many of them friends. You got to turn your back to them so you can look ahead at what Jesus has for you. But many of you can't do that because you care and you worry so much about what people think. You got to stop caring about what people think. And some are like, I don't care about what people think, Pastor Scott. Yes, you do. Many of you drove up here in a car that you can't afford trying to please people that don't even care. Maybe you're spending money on things that you don't even have. You're in debt up to your eyeballs because you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Many of you, you're college student, you're majoring in a major, not because that's what you want to major in, because that's what your parents want you to major in. Many of you are running from God and don't want to truly step into all that God has for you, because what will people think if you become one of those people that's serious about Jesus? Many of you are in a relationship that you know is not God's best, but you don't want to leave because why? Because you're worried about what people think. It's almost like you walk around with this piece of paper in your pocket, and ladies, you keep it real handy in your purse, and this is what you walk around. This is how you live your life. You walk around with this piece of paper that simply says, I really care what people think. And this is how you live your life, and you think it doesn't show, but it shows clearly. And this is how you live your life. And some like, well, Pastor Scott, I really don't care. You say that, that's them, I don't care. Yeah, you do. Think about how it plays out in social media. In social media, you're getting ready to, you get that phone out, you're getting ready to take that selfie. You're getting ready to take that selfie, and so you're getting ready to take the selfie. You make sure everything's all right. You get ready to take the selfie, you know what I'm saying? Make sure everything's good. You're good. And then what you do, you got to extend your arm out a little bit further because it makes you look skinnier. It makes you look skinnier, you know what I'm saying? And then you take that selfie, and then once you take the selfie, you take a look at it. You look at it, see if it's all right. Then you let your friend look at it. You look at it, what do they think? Oh, is it good? What's going on? That's okay. Then you put a couple of filters on it. Then you know what? I don't look that dark. I'm not that dark in real life. I lighten it up. You're like, no, I'm not that light. I'm not that white. I'm actually dark. Then you put a little darker on there. And then you go and you post it on social media. Hashtag, I just woke up like this. Hashtag, no filter. You didn't wake up like that. And that's what happens. And the reason you do it, because you're worried about what people think. And then you get on social media and you just wanted to come and see what was going on. Next thing you know, you're depressed. Your girlfriend who is just out there done found Mr. Right. Your friends are in Hawaii. And you get frustrated because you're comparing your everyday ordinary life to everybody else's highlight reels. Social media, that's just their highlight reels. But you do it, why? Because you're worried about what people think. Let me tell you this. When you begin to focus on what people think, you truly lose sight of what God thinks. And if I just get real honest, and I'll share a little bit of my story. There was a season in my life and I really cared about what people think. I haven't always been a pastor. I haven't always been in full-time ministry. As a matter of fact, I spent a large number of my adult years in the prison system. 12 years, 22 days, and 8 hours to be exact. 8x10 cell, razor wire, pinned up anger, bad food, prison. I was a warden in the prison system. You guys can breathe. Man, if you see the looks on some of your faces, some of you remembered it from last time and trying to chuckle inside. I got people that's logging off of Facebook Live. Some of you are like, man, what's Pastor James doing with a convict in a pulpit? You know what I'm saying? Like, true story, at the age of 25, I was one of the youngest prison wardens in the country. And I didn't know at that time that God was going to use my time as a prison warden to prepare me for ministry. And all the haters were coming out like, that's stupid. Why would you put a 25-year-old kid as a prison warden? I worked for a private corrections company. And I began to kind of believe it. All my peers were 55, 60. It's just something you kind of had to work your way to. And so finally, I remember I was sitting with my business administrator one day. Her name was Dana A. Vance. And Dana said, Scott, you can't worry about what people think. No, you don't have 25 years of experience. You've only lived for 25 years. She said, I've been in the workforce for over 30 years, and I've worked for lots of bosses. And what you need to understand is this, is you bring the most godly leadership of anybody that I've ever worked for, and that's why people respect you here. You can't worry about what people think. You got to worry about what God thinks. And so that's why I'm here today to tell you that you can't worry about what people think. You need to worry about what God thinks. Because I'm here to tell you, like, your past, it doesn't define you. Your setback, your situation, it doesn't define you. And definitely what people say about you doesn't define you. Let me tell you what defines you, and that's what God says about you. Now, you know what God says about you? He says that you're an heir to Christ. He says that you're more than a conqueror. And he says that you can do all things, everything, all things through Christ who gives you strength. That's what God says about you. So that's what you got to step into. Now, let me tell you your problem is that your problem is you worry about everything, but you don't truly seek God for anything. That word truly is what's key. You have to truly see God, and you don't want to do that. And Bartimaeus is sitting out there in the large crowd. The haters are coming out. Blind man, you tripping. Blind man. This might be what somebody's saying. You got issues. Bartimaeus said, yeah, I may have issues, but I'm about to connect to the one that has the ability to cancel my subscription. That was good preaching right there. I need to say that again. I don't think y'all just going to kind of just breeze by that, you know what I'm saying? First thing you do is you got to drop your care. The second thing, if you're taking notes, is you need to drop your coat. Everybody say, drop your coat. Here's what the Bible says, verse 49 and 50. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet. and came to Jesus. And so he's out there, he's begging, and his cloak was his coat or his outer garment. And in this time in Scripture, in order for you to be able to beg, you'd have to go to the elders of the time and let them know that you had to prove that you had a need, that you needed to be able to beg because that was your profession. Everybody couldn't do it. So this cloak and this outer garment, it signified that you were able to go out and beg. And so for him to jump up and throw his cloak off, he's saying, you know what? I don't care. I'm getting outside of my comfort zone because this was comfortable. And here's the deal. Every single one of you, we're talking about dropping your coat. We're talking about dropping your comfort zone and getting out of it. Because every one of you have a comfort zone. I mean, some of your comfort zone is drugs or alcohol. And some of your comfort zone is people please. You're a people please. You got to please people. Some of your comfort zone is relationships. You don't care if it's a good one or a bad one. You just need to be in one. Some of your comfort zone is money and you just got to have it. Some of your comfort zone is work and you're a workaholic and you just spend more time at work than you do with your family. Some of your comfort zone is worry and you just worry about everything. You can't see everything is worry. Some of your comfort zone is scarcity mentality. I can't give. I can't do this because there's not enough of God's blessings to go around. Whatever it is, you got to be willing to get outside your comfort zone. You know, speaking of comfort, I told you that I fly a lot and I'm always in first class. It's a lot more comfortable. And I was sitting there one time on a flight. And again, you have a conversation. What do you do for a living? What do you do? And I'm sitting there. I'm on this app called Periscope, which is a live streaming app. It's like Facebook Live, but it's Twitter's version. And it's when it first came out. I'm sitting there having a conversation with guys like, oh, you're on Periscope. Normally people think I'm just some weird dude. And so I'm on Periscope, and I'm sitting there. And the guy's like, oh, you're on Periscope. I'm like, yeah. And we start talking. He's like, what do you do for a living? I told him, like, what do you do? He's like, well, I'm the global brand director for Nike. How many of you guys know what goes through your mind when you're sitting next to the global brand director for Nike? Yeah, hook a brother up with some shoes, you know what I'm saying? 11 and a half. Like, I didn't say it, but I thought it, you know what I'm saying? So we began to talk, and he began to tell me a little bit more of his story, and his story was this. He said he remember he was in L.A., and he was at dinner with a group of friends, and it was a bunch of people there. As he looked down the end of the table, like, everybody there was couples except for him. And he realized that he just had gotten complacent and just kind of doing his thing and doing the same old thing. And he said, I got to get out of my comfort zone. And so he started applying for jobs, and one thing led to the next. He ended up landing this interview with Nike, and long story short, he ended up getting this great job at Nike after about 6 months. And the moral of the story isn't the fact that he got this great job at Nike. The moral of the story is the way that he was able to experience breakthrough and a new situation and a new level is because he's willing to get outside of his comfort zone. You'll never hear a story of greatness that came from a comfort zone. As a matter of fact, can I pray something over every single one of you today? Is that okay? Can I pray something over you? I pray that God makes your comfort zones really uncomfortable. I pray if your comfort zone is people pleasing that you don't get a compliment for the next 30 days. I pray if your comfort zone is a workaholic that your kids come on and ask you every single day this week, would you please spend time with me? I pray if your comfort zone is alcohol and every single time you pick up the bottle, it busts and breaks in front of you. I pray if your comfort zone is drugs that your drug dealer gets arrested and goes to jail this week. And I don't pray that over you to be harsh or crass. I pray that over you because I know the only way you're going to be able to experience the blessing and breakthrough that God has for you is to be able to get outside of your comfort zone. And that's what God wants you to do. You got to get outside of your comfort zone. Last thing, if you're taking notes, is you got to drop your cup. Everybody say, drop your cup. Let's look at verse 51 and 52. Here's what the Bible says. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you immediately. He received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And that's how it happens. If you look at many of the miracles in the Bible, especially dealing with Jesus, it's always your faith and then immediately the miracle, the breakthrough, the blessing. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 long years, your faith has healed you immediately. The Canaanite woman's daughter, your faith has healed you immediately. Jairus' daughter, your faith has healed you immediately. Blind Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you immediately. Because it's about faith. Do you believe it? Because let me tell you this, having a strong faith It's not going to remove your problems, but it will remove their power and influence over your life. Because it's about believing it. Do you believe that it's going to happen? And when you do, it's like you ignite something. It's like you have to be able to ignite that faith. And that's what Bartimaeus did. And that's what you need to be willing to do. And when you do it, watch what's going to happen. God's got something amazing for you. But you got to be willing to acknowledge, to exercise, to ignite that faith. And so we talk about dropping our cup. We're talking about dropping like all these things that you're holding on to, the things that you think that you need and you know that you need. But we're talking about dropping all of them. And I told you I was a prison warden, and one of the facilities that I ran was a maximum secure juvenile facility. When early on, it was the worst of the worst kids in the state of Oklahoma. If they didn't finish our program, they would go to the adult prison system. And I remember we got a new resident. They asked us, will we take him? He was at our local county detention center. He was a bad boy. And about 14 years old, and he had already fractured 3 staff members' jaws, assaulted a number of other residents, and nobody wanted to take him. Begin to think about the worst of the worst bad kid that you can imagine. And that's this kid. His name was Lando. And they called us again. I'm a 25-year-old prison warden. Send him. Send him on. I remember when he arrived, I went back to the reception area and looked at him and kind of let him know the rules. This is kind of how we roll here. This is what we expect. I remember like it was yesterday. He looked at me and said, "Warden, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. I've been in and out of facility since I was 8 years old. It's just another rodeo for me." We should agree to disagree. About 4 or 5 weeks into Lando being in our facility, remember, we get a code 10 violation in our school area. And I go by there and Lando squared up, getting ready to assault one of our teachers. And all the other residents are around him. And the one thing I learned at that moment I've carried on with me today is that I learned this. If you want to begin to see some de-escalation, you got to remove yourself from the situation. And so we got him outside of the classroom, began to talk to him. And me and one of the other counselors got him in the counselor office and began to have a conversation. For the first time, we began to see the rough and tough layers of this really tough onion begin to peel back with Lando. And what we found out about Lando was this, that although he was 14 years old, he couldn't read. As a matter of fact, he read at less than the first grade reading level. And so here's the story. Imagine 8 years old, he was street smart, going on, like, goes to school. People might find out he can't read. What does he do? He assaults someone. He goes to detention. He stays there. He doesn't do anything. He goes to a group home. He goes to a foster home. He goes to a boys' home. And it's this never-ending cycle. And everybody said he needs to be in a more secure facility. He needs some more Ritalin, needs a higher dose, he needs more psychotropic drugs. That's not what Lando needed. What he needed was to know how to read. And after being in our facility for just under 2 years, he began to read at over an 8th grade reading level. It was one of the biggest turnarounds that we had seen. Everybody said he needed this. That's not what he needed. He needed to know how to read. Blind Bartimaeus, you need this. Let me give you money. Let me give you stuff. And that's not what Bartimaeus needed. He didn't need all that stuff. What he needed was to know how to see. Like, he needed to be able to see. That's what he needed. And I'm here to tell you this, like, you don't need Dr. Oz, and you don't need Dr. Phil. What you need to do is connect to the person that has the ability to heal. What you need can be found in the pages of this book. You can't listen to what people think. You got to focus on what God says. And so some of you came through these doors worried about what people think. And today's the day that you're going to say, you know what? I no longer care about what people think. Today is the day that I'm dropping my care and I'm leaving it there. You're going to drop your care and you're going to leave it there. And then you say, you know what? I've been real comfortable. You know what your comfort zone is. You say, you know what? I'm going to make the decision to get outside of my comfort zone. And you say, you know what? It wasn't very comfortable anyway. It was hot. It was uncomfortable. And I'm getting outside of my comfort zone. So I'm going to drop my care and I'm going to drop my coat. And the last thing represents all these things that you've been holding on to. And you say, you know what? Today's the day that I'm going to walk out these doors and things are going to be different. I'm dropping my care. I'm dropping my coat and I'm dropping my cup because God's got something amazing for me. Your life is going to be different today.